Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Today, I want to talk on the theme, getting ready for the next. Getting ready for the next. Being that it's the first Sunday of the year, I just felt led to talk about this. Getting us ready for what is to come. Getting us ready for the next. How many believe that God has something great for us in the next, right? I believe that God has something special for you and your family, for me and my family. I believe that God has something special for our church in the next, and the next thing to come. We believe that the Lord will continue to bless us. Even in a year of a pandemic year, we have seen how God has led and helped and blessed us and comforted us. So we're so thankful to the Lord. Getting ready for the next. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to you, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as this great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua offered the officers. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the teaching of your word. We pray that it would land in our hearts and draw us closer to you, Lord. We pray that it would speak to our lives, that it would give us direction, that it would convict us, Lord God. We pray, oh Lord God, that your word would change our Sunday, that our Sunday would change our Monday, Father. I pray that you would place an anointing upon me for this hour. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So our theme, getting ready for the next. From the moment that we gave our hearts to Christ, from the moment that we asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we believe that God is always doing something new in our lives. He's always challenging us to believe in Him and to trust in Him, to know that He is at work in our lives. I love that the scripture teaches us from the moment that we give our heart to the Lord, that there is a transforming work that is occurring within us, that He's leading us into new things, and He's leading us into service people in new ways. And He's looking for people that He can trust with more. People that trust Him more, He wants to trust them with more. God is always looking to do something new in us and looking to do something new through us. As we embrace 2021, let us embrace this new year, this new season with a sense of excitement, with a sense of joy, with a sense of knowing that God is in the midst of this and He's calling us for something new. Knowing that He's leading us, knowing that He's helping us, and knowing that God is with us. When we look at the story that we read and we look at Joshua, we can see that Joshua was called into a new responsibility. He no longer was the number two. He no longer was the assistant to Moses. He was now the leader, and I'm sure that that brought him some fear. But God reminded him, "My promises are also with you." The Israelites are getting ready to enter to the promised land, and God was telling Joshua, "I am going to give you and the Israelites the victory." God was telling Joshua, "Like I was with Moses, I will be with you." Joshua was about to enter into battle. He was about to cross the Jordan. He was about to enter into battle with five cities, with five kings, right? Here the Israelites are now getting ready to enter into the battle to obtain the promised land. And Joshua only knew the end result. What was the end result? That God had said, we will take you into the promised land. But he didn't know the how on how he would get there. He didn't know that God was going to intervene in such a mighty way that on one battle, he was going to send hail from heaven and hail would destroy the armies of his enemy. He didn't know. He knew that God would get them to the promised land, but he didn't know the how of it. He didn't know how God would intervene. On another battle, God sustains the sun so that the night never comes and the Israelites can have the victory. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God had promised him that he would take him and the Israelites into the promised land, but he did not know always the how. God is calling us for something new. And in 2021, I want to remind you that there's a new season approaching us. And it's a season that God has ordained for our lives. We don't always know the details. We don't always know the hows. We don't always know how God is going to intervene, but we do know that God is with us, he's going to bless us, and he wants to lead us to a place of promises. And what accompanies us during the process? What is the how for us? For Joshua, the how was hail from heaven. For Joshua, the how was the sun being sustained. What's the how for us? The how is God's peace for us. God's wisdom for us, God's strength for us, God's comfort for us. That's the how. So as we approach this new season, I want us to approach this new season with a sense of excitement, knowing that God has called us for something new. In this story, in this sermon, I want to answer two questions. I want to answer the question of what is before us and what do we need? What is before us? And what do we need? Today we'll answer the question, what is before us? And next week we'll answer the question, what do we need? So what is before us? Three things that are before us. Keeping the story of Joshua in mind, the first thing that's before us is something new. How many know that God is always doing something new in our lives, right? The new for Joshua was, before he was accustomed to serving Moses. He was accustomed to going into the tent of meeting and praying. He was accustomed to fighting, and he was accustomed to being on the side of Moses. He followed Moses' instructions. But now, in Joshua chapter 1, God tells him, well, Moses is dead. Something new is happening in his life. God is calling him to lead, not to follow anymore, but to lead. God is calling him to hear God's voice, to be sensitive to what God wants to do. Before, he followed the instructions that God gave to Moses, but now God wants to speak directly to him, and he's called to obey. There's a shifting in Joshua's life. There's something new that's happening in him. And we know that God speaks to us and he draws us and he reminds us that he wants to do something new in us. You know, have you had that experience of a new job? Right, a new job, first day of work, you don't know the people, you're insecure, the process, not always knowing, right? And you're trying to figure things out, who's nice, who's not nice. There's a sense of insecurity because there's something new. Well, the Bible teaches us that God is always doing something new, and it's our job to trust in him. I love that the moment that we give our life to the Lord, it doesn't become a pause, and it doesn't end up like stagnant waters, but God is moving us from glory to glory. That's God doing something new in us. We should not be the people we were before. We should not be the people we were a year ago. You and I should not be the people we were 2 years ago. We should have grown. We should have matured. We should have learned. Why? Because God is doing something new in our lives, and he's taking us from glory to glory is what Scripture reminds us. And it's a wonderful thing to know that he's not even done with us yet. He's still working within us. I love that the Apostle Paul writes, he who has begun a good work within us, he will bring it to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. That's what God does. He stirs things up in us. He's moving within us. He's bringing maturity into our lives. And he speaks into our hearts. And he speaks into our lives. And he casts a vision within us for his will at times, that he wants to do something new within us. And I love that God uses us for something new. He uses our gifting, right, to do something within us. He casts a vision alongside of us that we can help work. Why? Because he gives us the gifts that we need to do it. He also knows our disposition. So when God wants to do something new within us, he knows our disposition. This person is willing to do it. This person wants to do it. This person may be a little fearful, but they will trust me for it. So he knows our disposition in time of doing something new. And what I love about God is that he empowers us to do the new thing. So he doesn't just say, here, I got something new for you to do. But he looks for somebody who is gifted to do it. Looks for somebody who has a disposition to do it. And then he says, I'm going to empower you so that you can get done the new thing that I want to do in your life. We see how God works in us. He works in us, and then he works through us as well. And he's always creating new opportunities in our lives where his will can be done and his name can be glorified. He uses you and I in seasons in our lives where his will can get done and his name can be glorified. So we open our eyes and our hearts to hear, to be sensitive. What is it that God wants to do in our life? For Joshua, it was a new promotion. It was a new responsibility. Things had changed in his life. God was doing something else in him. He no longer would be the assistant, but now he would be the leader. God was preparing him. God was challenging him. And God was bringing increase into his life. I want to believe that in this new season, God is looking to bring increase into our lives. He's looking to bring promotion into our lives. He's looking to challenge us with new things for his glory and for his honor. He's looking to entrust his will to his people. That's you and that's I. He's looking to pour out upon people that are willing to pour out upon people. He's looking for somebody that says, Lord, send me. I am willing. So it's a new season that God is doing something new within us. I love the call of Jeremiah. In the call of Jeremiah, God tells him in chapter 1, verse 17, get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. In his call, he's telling him, I got something new for you, Jeremiah. I'm getting you ready for a new call. And he tells him, get up. He says, get yourself ready, stand up. And that word stand up in the original language is change your posture. Lift your head up. In other words, he's telling him, get ready because I'm about to do something with you like I've never done with you before. How many believe that for your lives? Change your posture. Believe God for that in your life, that he wants to do something in you like never before. He wants to do a new level of ministry. He wants to use you to impact people like never before. He wants you to serve on a staff and be an influencer. God is looking to promote. He's looking to do a shifting in our lives. And we need to just be ready to know that God is doing something new within us. As a church, I believe that the Lord is expanding our territory. I believe that he's calling ECC for a new level in ministry. I think that he's calling us in this season to lift his name up in a way like never before. And he wants to use small groups and Bible studies and our ministries and Bible Institute. And he wants to use all our ministries. And he wants to use beautiful services on Sundays and prayer services. But he wants to use you and me. He wants to use us to lift up his name. He wants to use us to fulfill his perfect will. And I want to encourage you to be excited about this new season that God is doing something in us because he's drawing us into a personal experience with him to hear his word and believe him for it. How many have been like a Joshua where God says, I'm calling you for this. Like I was with Moses, I will be with you, but there's a sense of I can't. But God is calling us to believe like Joshua. If you were with Moses, you'll be with me and then we can. So I want to encourage you because I love the response that Joshua gives God. When you read the story that we've read in verse 10 and 11, he goes and he leads and he orders his officers. He orders his leaders and he says, tell your people, get ready. In 3 days, we're going to cross the Jordan. In 3 days, we're going to go to the other side. It was a response. He did not sleep on the word that God spoke. He did not reconsider it. He did not ponder it. But he believed God for the next. And he tells the people, let's go. God is calling us into the promised land. As we answer the question, what is before us? Something new. Do you believe God for it? Do you believe what God wants to do in your life, in our church? If we believe it, then our response needs to be, Lord, I make myself available to you. Let's go. Use us for your glory and for your honor. And the church says, amen. Amen. In this new season, we believe God for something new. What is before us? Something new. Number two, what is before us? Something unexpected. Joshua was confronted with the unexpected. He knew the end result. The end result was that God had promised them that they would make it to the promised land. So he knew the end result. But how would it all come together? How would he get there? How would he defeat the cities? How would he defeat the kings? He did not know that God would send hail from heaven. He did not know that God would sustain the sun. No, he did not know how God would give him the victory. He only knew that God would give him the victory. So what was before him? Something unexpected. In our walk of faith, we are always confronted with the unexpected. We never know what tomorrow holds. If anything, 2020 has shown us, it has shown us that our lives can change in one day, in one hour, in one minute. We have learned that our lives can change. We're always before the unexpected. But what keeps us confident in unexpected times? What keeps us confident? What keeps us sure? What keeps us confident is God's promises over our lives. What keeps us confident? God's spoken word. What kept Joshua confident that God had told him, I will be with you and I will give you this land? It was God's spoken word that gave Joshua the confidence to know that God is with me and I am going to stay focused, because God's word never lands on dry ground. It always bears fruit. We may not always know the how, but we know the end result. So we trust God for his promises. We trust God for his spoken word, because this spoken word gives direction, it gives hope, and it brings clarity to our lives. And the church says, so in the unknown, in unexpected times, we hold on to God's promises. So what are God's promises for us? Just a few of God's promises that I can mention to you that we hold on to in unexpected times. He promises to guide us each day. It's God's promise to guide us. So we walk in the unexpected each day, but we are assured that God is leading us in unexpected times. The psalmist said it this way, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you take me into your glory. He was telling, during the process, you guide me with your counsel, and after, you'll take me into glory. He promises to lead us and guide us. I love that the psalmist says, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. In other words, God says, I'm never going to take my eyes off you. I'm always going to lead you. I'm always going to guide you. I'm always going to counsel you. I'm always going to direct you. You're always being led by my presence. So if you're here today, it's a reminder that God led you here. Yeah, you set the alarm clock and you woke up this morning and you got here. But it was God that led you here to hear, to worship, to share this day. Why? God's promises lead us each day. And in our unexpected times, we're confident that God has not forsaken us. We're not orphans during that time. He's still leading us and he's still guiding us. And we hold on to that promise that he is with us. In unexpected times, how do we live? We live holding on to the promises of God, that he leads us. Number two is that he supplies every need. He never, ever leaves us without our needs. He supplies our needs. You know, there may be some people who says, you know, in life I found myself in a place where I need it. It's usually because I have not administered well what God has entrusted to me. But when we administer well what God has entrusted to us, we never find ourselves without need. He always gives us what we need. I love that the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I love that it's a promise. And need goes beyond money or supplies, but he'll give us the need for wisdom, the need for strength, all that we may need for our unexpected times. The promises of God says that he will supply all we need, every need that we have. So I want to encourage you in unexpected times in this new season to know that God will lead you, that God will supply you. Also to know that God will empower you with everything that you need. He will empower. I love that God doesn't just send us off and say, hey, do the best that you can with the gifting that I have given you. But not only does he send us off with our gifting, he empowers us with his Holy Spirit to be able to fulfill and accomplish his will and give glory to his name in unexpected times. And that's why you have run through people, you have run into people who have had hard times, whether it be with sickness or loss, and you see Jesus in their lives and you say, well, wow, it's amazing how they still reflect Christ in the midst of this hardship. And it's because God has empowered them in that moment and given them the strength and the counsel and the comfort that they need to be able to do the things that God has called them to do. In ministry, when you are entrusted with something and you find yourself in a place where you feel like this is too hard for me, and then you come out of it. How is it that you have come out of it? You've come out of it because the Holy Spirit has empowered you for the moment, for the time that you have had, for the need in which you have found yourself. You have not been left orphaned. No, in unexpected times, what helps us? God's promises, God's spoken word. That leads us. God's spoken word that gives us all that we need, that empowers us. And God's spoken word that reminds us that he will give us the wisdom that we need for unexpected times. When we walk in unexpected times, we find that we are in need of wisdom. And I love the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 21, verse 15. It says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversities will be able to withstand or contradict." And when he says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom," it's saying there in the original language, in the syntax of the sentence, because you have a mouth that I have given you, be assured that you will also have wisdom that I have given you. Surely, that, like you have a mouth, surely you will have wisdom. It's a reminder to us to remember that God's promises accompany us and he will give us all that we need in unexpected times. He would give us the wisdom that we need. And I'm reminded this morning that in unexpected times, he promises even to care for our souls. Because there's times when we find ourselves even with a loss of life. And we're saying, Lord, where has been your will in all this? But we're reminded that even in those times, even when we are suffering our sicknesses and our bodies are withering away, we're reminded that God's promises accompany us, even in those unexpected times. I love the words of Jesus when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, but trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." It's a reminder to us that God is the caretaker of the soul, and that's his promise to us. So in unexpected times, we know the end result. We know that God is going to take us into the promised land, that God is going to care for us. But in unexpected times, we're not always sure how to manage them, how to handle them. But we're reminded that God's word has been spoken into our life like it was for Joshua. What encouraged Joshua to go? God's spoken word. What encourages us to go? God's spoken word. God reminds us that he is with us, right? He reminds us that he would give us strength, that he would give us wisdom, that he will lead us, that he will empower us, and that he will care for us. So in unexpected times, what allows us to move forward is that God's promises are faithful. I love what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20. He says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, through the amen, I believe God for his glory and his will." So I want to encourage you. God's promises are yes and amen. For you and for me, we can hold on to them and we can believe God for them. And the church says, amen and amen. So as we're talking about a new season, what is before us? Something new, something unexpected, and something practical, an assignment. The task is before us. For Joshua, he says, now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and the entire people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. It was his assignment. It was something practical. The assignment for Joshua was to lead these people. It wasn't to go back and think about this. It wasn't to go back and ponder this new thought. No, it was to rise. It was to go. He says, now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and the entire people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. The assignment for Joshua was to lead these people. He says, I'm giving them to you. You're just the instrument that I'm going to use, but I'm going to use you to be a blessing to the people. In this new season, God is looking to entrust us with the work that blesses his people. He's looking to entrust us with the work that blesses his people. We're just instruments that God wants to use. Sometimes we think of God's call as something that is a blessing to us. And yes, it is a blessing to us to be called, but God wants us to be an instrument of blessing to those around us. The assignment for Joshua had everything to do with getting the people to the promised land and little to do with him. God wants to use us. There's something practical before us. Some would ask, what is my assignment? What is the task that God has for me in this new season? What is God looking to do? What is God's promises accompanying me for? What does God want to do through me? Our job is to get people into the promised land, to lead people into God's perfect will. As we approach this new season, that we would remember that there is a call upon the church, a call upon you, and a call upon me, that we're instruments. And yes, at times this call is a costly call. It's sacrificial. It's not easy. Sometimes people want it all to come easy to them. But the call of God upon the church is not an easy call. It's a sacrificial call. Many have had to give their lives for the sake of the call upon the church. And what is before us in this new season? It's the call of God. It's something practical. I can share it with you in three quick ways. The first call of God in our lives is the call to the ministry of reconciliation. That we would remember that God has called us into the ministry of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we are ambassadors of Christ. And it is as if Christ is making his appeal through us. Paul implores the church. He makes a plea to the church and he says, be reminded that this is your ministry to reconcile others to God. That we will remember that it's part of our practical call. That we will remember that it's part of this season that we're living. How will they know if no one preaches to them? How will they know if no one shares the gospel with them? The good news has been entrusted to us to be the herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to seek the opportunity to show the people of this world that there is a loving Savior and his name is Jesus. That we are reminded that God has called us to send the message that he is the only Son of God that was sent into the world to be a Savior for all people. This is part of our assignment. As we look into this new season of our lives, what is before us? Something new, something unexpected, but there's something practical as well. That we would be careful not to become so institutionalized in our gospel, in our church going, in our religious routines, and in our ways, that we would forget what has been entrusted to us to share the good news of Jesus. That we are just beggars that have found bread and now have been entrusted to find another one that is in need of bread. That we would be reminded that this is our practical responsibility, and to know that the Lord will usher us into unexpected grounds and his promises will lead and sustain us so that we can do the very thing he's called us to do, the ministry of reconciliation. And the church says, amen. Amen. What other practical things are before us? Strive to do good for others. There's a whole sermon here, but I love the way the Apostle Paul writes this. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Strive to do good. That we would be vessels that strive to do good, to help those who are idling. Sometimes at the church, we're so judgmental of those who are idling. We're so judgmental to those who find themselves in stagnant waters. But that we would not be judgmental to them, but that we would help them. That we would warn those who are disruptive. Warn those that are not doing good. I've had to use this term on different occasions. I speak to you this way because I'm your pastor and I love you. And if I didn't say this to you, then I'm no good to you. I've had to use those words to say, hey, be careful. You're not edifying. And your life is going down the wrong trail at this time. Encourage the disheartened. Somebody is down and out, that we would strive to do good. Not beat them when they're down, but encourage them to know that God will help them. To help the weak, to find those that need us to hold their hand and walk along them and say, hey, we are not going to leave you alone in these times. To make sure that we don't pay back wrong with wrong, that we remember that Christ has called us to forgive and to seek reconciliation, to strive to do good for each other. This is the practical work that is before us in this new season. That we would evaluate our lives and we would say, what changes can I make? Where have I failed God in this practical work? Am I so caught up in my routine and in my religion and in my way that I wake up in the morning and I come back home and I wake and I become blind to the needs of those around me, insensitive and hard to the brokenness that is found in this world? Or do I strive to do good? In this new season, like Joshua, God used him as an instrument to bring people to a better place. God is using us, wants to use us as instruments to bring people into a better place. And the church says, what is before us? Something practical. The ministry of reconciliation. Strive to do good for others and lead by example. You know what I love about this story? The people were willing to follow Joshua. There was something about Joshua's life that the people were willing to follow. He modeled well. He modeled well. He wasn't a troublemaker. No. He modeled well. He was in the tent of meeting. He led well along Moses. He went into battle. He didn't sit back and send the generals. No, he was there. He modeled well. He led well. And when it was time for him to lead, the people said, as we were with Moses, we will be with you as well. As we followed Moses, we will follow you as well. Today in age, if the church does not lead well, no one will want to follow us. We must lead well. What is before us? We are called to lead well. We're called to make an impact with our lives. Look, we could have a lot of theology. And we could have a lot of schooling, and we could have a lot of credentials and a lot of influence. But if no one wants to follow us, our work is in vain. We're not taking no one nowhere. But God wants people that lead well. So I want to encourage you as you embrace this new season, lead well. Lead well your home. Lead well your life. Lead well your call. Lead well your ministry. Lead well because people will want to follow you. I love the words of the Apostle Paul for Timothy, giving advice to this young pastor. He says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. He says, look, you're young. He tells them, you're young. I need to finish. He says, you're young, but set the example. Speak well, he tells them. Conduct yourself well. Love well. Live in faith well. Live in purity well. And he's saying, they'll follow you at that point. Your youth, will not be your hindrance. The way you live is what will hinder you. I love that Paul tells Titus this. Show yourself in all respect to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. And he was saying, you will lead well. So as I close our teaching this morning, what is before us? We want to answer the question to our teaching this morning, what is before us? There's a new season before us. God is looking to do something new in you and in me and in our church. We know the end result, that God always blesses us and leads us to a place, but we don't always know how we're going to get there, but we know that that's what God wants to do, so he wants to do something new. He's always taking us from one level of glory to another level of glory. He wants to continue to promote us and take us into places where we're more influential for his glory and for his honor. And sometimes it will be sacrificial, but we know that God is calling us for something new. Embrace it. Believe God for it. Believe. No one should say, oh, it's not me, it's so and so. No, God is calling you and he's calling me and he's calling us into something new in 2021. And it is our job to trust him for it. And the church says, God is always doing something new. What is before you? Something new. Number two, what is before you? Something unexpected. Hard times will come. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in a place within this new that we just never thought we would be. What sustains us? God's promises. That God promises to lead us. That God promises to give us wisdom. That God promises to empower us. That he promises to supply all our needs. He even promises to take care of our soul in unexpected times. What sustains us in unexpected times? We're not of those that fall apart or are dismayed in unexpected times. No, we're those that hold on to the promises of God. Because unexpected times come to all people. They invade all people. But the church is sustained by the word of God that is spoken. Like Joshua was sustained by the word, we are sustained by this word that says, I am with you and I will never leave you or forsake you. He is a father that cares for his children. We are not orphans. And the church says, what is before us? Something new, something unexpected, and something practical. Let us not just be institutionalized or religious, or let us just not come into this. I go to church, I go home to church, I'm labeled a Christian, I'm labeled a conservative. No. God is calling us to be practical. Practical. We've been entrusted with some practical things that bring people into the promises that God has for them. What is that? The ministry of reconciliation. We are responsible. We are heralds of the good news. What is that? What is the practical? To strive to do good for others. Let us not just wait for everyone to do good for us. Let us strive. Let us help people. Let us encourage people. Let us walk with people. Let us be a blessing to people. That we would strive to do good for others. That's what's before us in this new season. And to lead by example. Lead by example. And the world will want to follow a church that leads with integrity and dignity and purity and kindness and love. The world will want to follow a church like that. This is what we're called for in 2021. It's a new season. What is before us? Something new, something unexpected, and something practical. And the church says, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week, we'll answer the question, what is needed? What is needed? I'm going to invite you to stand.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.